Last January, as pastor of this congregation, you know that I designated the year 2014 to be the year of gratitude. I promised at the time that I would preach a reminder sermon every other month, and today is one of those Sundays, so that we may practice gratitude as often as we can, in all circumstances we can, and in all the ways we can. And this is what I said in January. I said, I urged everyone to become a character of gratitude. You and I both know that character is not developed just overnight. It takes time and practice. So how can we become a character of gratitude? By practicing being thankful to the Lord in all circumstances. The next question is, how can we be thankful in all circumstances, even in bad ones? In March, I pointed out that the key to the thankfulness is worship. You may not see the connection, how thankfulness is directly connected to worship. In my humble opinion, without the attitude of worship, it's simply impossible to be thankful in all circumstances. And think of Job for a while, who lost all his possessions and his 10 children in one day. And right after he heard the bad news, one thing after another, this is what he said. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was not his sheer exercise of willpower that enabled him to confess so. Rather, he was able to do so only after, the scripture says, he fell to the ground and worshipped. That's where I see the connection. The scripture says, in all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrongdoing. Many of us in bad circumstances are tempted to charge God with wrongdoing, are we not? And only worship keeps us from doing that. Let me repeat again. Worship is the key to the thankfulness, because in worship, we acknowledge the Almighty God whom we trust. In worship, God shifts our attention from ourselves to himself, and he provides us with a new perspective that is his own, so that we may look at our lives as God sees. Worship prepares us to be thankful in all circumstances. That's what I talked about. And today I'm going to talk about the importance of not losing the opportunity to thank. Thank now rather than later. When it comes down to expressing our gratitude, it seems to me there are 4 types of people. And at this moment, I encourage you to look at the chart or table printed on in your bulletin, right under the sermon title. The first type is that people who do not see the need of expressing their gratitude, and therefore they don't express their gratitude. Type 2 people, they don't see the need, however, they do express their gratitude. Type 3 people, they would like to thank, however, they ended up not being able to express gratitude. And the last one, of course, type 4, not only they would like to thank, but also they do indeed express their gratitude. Let me begin with type 1 people, a story of John and Tim. John, the CEO of a sales organization, sent an email to Tim, an employee several levels down, to compliment him on his performance in a recent meeting. Tim did not respond to the email. About a week later, he was in John's office applying for an open position that would have been a promotion into a management role. When John asked him whether he had received the email, yes, Tim said, he had. Why? John asked. Hadn't he responded? Tim said he didn't see the need. But Tim was wrong. John's email deserved, at the very least, a thank you. Tim did not get the promotion. Was he passed over solely because he didn't thank John for the positive feedback? No. But was Tim's lack of response one piece of the Tim puzzle that convinced John he should choose a better candidate? Undoubtedly. The story was taken from Peter Bregman's Harvard Business Review. Now let's talk about type 2. Type 2 represents the people, such as children, who don't see the need to thank, but they are instructed, at times they're forced by their parents to do so. Now, type 3 and 4, I'm going to devote the rest of my sermon to that. Today's story shows the other two types of people, type 3 and type 4. Let me recap the story we just read. One day, Jesus, along with 12 disciples, was traveling through Galilee and Samaria. We are not familiar with the names of those regions in the land of Israel. It's like if you think of the New Jersey, what is the southern county of New Jersey under the ocean county? What is that? Cape May, right? What's above that? Ocean County. Oh, really? Atlantic, sorry. And what is above that? Ocean County. And above that is Monmouth County. It goes up, right? Now, same thing. If you look at the map of Israel, the Jerusalem is their capital, and surrounding area in those days they called Judea. And above Judea, there is another region called Samaria. Above this Samaria, there is a region called Galilee. That's where Jesus was most active. You see? So one day he was going through this region and the border between Galilee and Samaria, and he entered a village, very likely the town named Ginnae. It was the town about 50 miles north of Jerusalem. So then he entered and encountered 10 men with leprosy. If you look at verse 12 printed in your bulletin, that they stood afar, they kept a distance between the two. And there is a reason why, we all know that, but according to the Leviticus, the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament, chapters 13 and 14, when a man has a suspicious skin disease, in those days he must go to a priest for examination. And after a careful examination, the priest then pronounces him either unclean, in other words, you are carrying the infectious disease such as leprosy, and in modern medicine says that it's not really infectious, but in those days they thought they did. Anyway, unclean disease such as leprosy, or clean, that is that non-infectious skin disease such as burns, you know, skin burns and something. And the unclean patient then is put in quarantine, separated from the community, and is to live in isolation outside the village or the camp. If there were more than one unclean person, then they would form a group of community of these unclean people. And whenever the group travels on the road or converses with people in the village, they must cry out aloud, unclean, unclean, to keep a distance. It's not just like a couple of yards away, it's like at least 10 or 15 yards away between the two groups. And that's why the 10 lepers, they wouldn't dare come closer to Jesus. They stood afar and they shouted from a distance. And as soon as they saw Jesus, they began shouting out to the Lord, have mercy on us. It wasn't like Pastor Choi saying, have mercy on us. It's like, they have mercy on us. Very loud. You could see. Now let's think about the sentence for a moment. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on me. In my humble opinion, these are the four words, the most beautiful and effective words we can use in our prayers. Especially when you and I don't know what to say to God. How many times we feel like, Lord, I don't know what to say. I'm just so sad. Something like that. In those moments, simply repeat in prayer, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. The Lord would hear you and respond to your needs. Think of this. In today's story, even before the lepers specified their needs to Jesus, which was healing, Jesus already knew what they needed and granted their wish. That's why he says, go and show yourself to the priest. Oh, in those days, by the way, if you are, you know, healed from the disease, then you want to be restored to the community and the families, right? So the last step you need to do is to go back to the priest, and the priest must declare that you are clean now. That's why Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priest. So as they started walking toward, you know, where the priest lives, the healing took place, the Bible says, in all of them, 10 of them. And the other 9 continued on their journey. However, there is one man turned around and started running back to Jesus. As soon as he found Jesus, this time he didn't keep the distance, you see. He went to Jesus as close as he could and fell to the ground on his face and worshipped him, thanking and glorifying God for the healing. Here, I want everyone to see what happens when we thank God. Through our thanksgiving, you glorify God. Do you always want to glorify God? Lord, I really want to glorify you in my life. The simple step is start giving thanks to God. Thanksgiving and praises to God, they always go hand in hand. That's why it is so crucial for all of us to give thanks to God all the time. Now let's think about the man who came back to Jesus. The scripture says he was a Samaritan. What's the big deal about Samaritan? Do you know the another story about good Samaritan? It seems like Jesus enjoyed telling a story about Samaritans. Who are the Samaritans? Here's a little historical background information. Samaritans were a victim of post-war practice among the ancient kingdoms. In those days, typically two kingdoms, you know, they were engaged in a war, and always the winner, always the loser. The winner, come after the war was over, would uproot the inhabitants of the loser kingdom from their homeland. More specifically, they would transplant the captives into a foreign land. For instance, when the Assyrians invaded and destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel in the 8th century BC, around 720 BC, they took away many Israelites to a foreign land and planted them there. And in return, they imported foreigners back into Israel. I think it makes sense. You know, if you want to prevent any revolt, you just exchange the people and the land. So what happened? Sooner or later, however, after this transplantation is done, the interracial and intercultural marriages between foreigners in the land of Israel and the remnants of Israel took place. And that's how the Samaritans came into existence. They were the descendants of those mixed marriages. And they were called, simply called Samaritans, like we are simply called New Jerseyans. We are living in New Jersey, that's why. They were living in Samaria. Now, ordinary Jews back then, in Jesus' time, would despise such mixed bloodline of Samaritans. Why? Because to a typical Jewish mind, keeping everything pure, including one's marriage and bloodline, was essential. Very, very important. So imagine that. Oh, you have mixed blood and mixed, you know, marriage, and they despise them. Such a prejudice against Samaritans persisted for 700 years, even to the day of Jesus, when Jews and Samaritans did not talk to each other. Actually, Jews despised the Samaritans, and Samaritans resented. Hey, still, we share the same forefathers, like Abraham and, you know, Jacob. So they didn't talk to each other, and they never did business together. And that's where the story gets really interesting. Jesus says the only one who came back to him to properly thank God for the healing was Samaritan. He asked, where are the other 9? Were they not also healed? The other 9 supposedly God-fearing people and who supposedly knew better, they never came back to thank Jesus for the healing. Now, I consider today's story as like a non-scientific survey. I think even today, 1 out of 10 people take time to say thanks. Wouldn't you agree? It's it's not scientific survey, but I think it's quite true. Now here's another statistic. If you disagree with me, listen to this one. 2 years ago, a poll was done in England. The poll of 2,000 people by the Food Network UK for Thank You Day, which was marked that particular year on November 24th, 2012, has nothing to do with Thanksgiving tradition we have in America. Now, 5% of the participants in the poll said, I quote, "A formal thank you was now not often needed in everyday conversation." The poll also shows that, I quote, "Our friends and family get the brunt of our bad manners, with half admitting they're rubbish at thanking those closest to them. Many justifying the lack of thanks because their family already know I'm grateful." Really? Do we really already know that they're grateful? Yes, but do we still not want to be appreciated? Yes, we do. Listen more. The survey concludes, I quote, "It follows that 85% of the people will be annoyed at not getting the gratitude they feel they deserve." Yes, I think it's true. Most of us still would like to get the thanks from those whom we helped. Now, concerning proper Thanksgiving, listen to Mr. Albert Schweitzer. How many of you heard of the name Albert Schweitzer? Yes, thank you. Who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1952 for his philosophy of reverence for life. There was a time that I was so much into Albert Schweitzer. You know, he's one of the few people that I truly admire and respect. And the reverence for life, it just boils down to one thing: do not kill the living creature, including spiders. I know some of you are afraid of spiders. There are only two things that I kill. Mosquitoes. And ants. When the ants come into your house, you know, they leave the trail and they keep bringing their army. So those two things that I kill. But the spiders, I rescue them from my inside of my house and let them loose. Now, I read in a scientific article about spiders, how beneficial they are. Did you know that they take care of 1/3 of the entire, the global population of insects, bugs? 1/3. Isn't it amazing? Without using one single drop of chemicals, they take good care of, you know, the world. So next time when you see the spiders, don't squash them. Rescue them and let them loose outside. Anyway, he was well known for this reverence for life, and he was really admired by so many people back then because he spent the rest of his life as a medical doctor in a small country in Africa, Gabon. Now, as I said, I was much into his life story one time, and once I read his biography, and the story I read, I'm about to share with you. When he was about 5 or 6 years old, he was living in Germany at the time, and each Christmas, the boy Schweitzer would receive Christmas gifts from his relatives, you know, parents and uncles and aunts and whatnot. So typically at least 5 or 6 gifts. Now his father instilled a great habit in the heart of boy Schweitzer. That was, "Albert, come here. Before you enjoy these Christmas gifts from your relatives, I want you to write a thank you letter." It wasn't just note, one line, two line note. It was like this long of thank you letter. Of course, boy Schweitzer just learning how to write a proper language and just a letter, grammatically correct. Anyway, so he learned to write the thank you letter properly, and the father approves it and proofread and whatever, and then he really nice letter. And after writing 5 or 6 letters, I'm sure the boy's hand got really tired. And at the time, he resented it. However, later on, he admitted that it turned into a lifelong habit of writing thank you letters and notes. And when I read that story, I said, this is it. I'm going to just learn from this and take over, and my family is going to took his example, and from then on, for the next 15 years or so until present time, we still practice the same thing in the Choi family every Christmas morning. So what we do, every Christmas morning, we open the presents, right? And then, before we start enjoying them, all three of us, my wife and I and Sarah's here, we sat down and writing thank you cards to every giver. And I think it's a wonderful practice. The same Schweitzer, he wrote a commentary on today's story. This is what he said. I quote, "It is not that the other nine didn't want to thank Jesus for the healing, but that they lost the opportunity to do so." Wouldn't you agree? I agree. So what's the lesson for today? Do not wait until it is too late, or you may lose the momentum. Do not lose the opportunity to thank God and thank people. Of course, God knows we are appreciative, and of course, people know that too. But they deserve, don't you think, to hear our thanks. Remember the nine lepers who missed the great opportunity to thank Jesus for the healing, and don't be one of them. Rather, be the one. And I want you to look at table number two, just as a quick summary. There are four types of people. The first one is that do not see the need and fail to express gratitude, such as Tim. And there are people who don't see the need, but they are educated and disciplined to express gratitude, such as children, and would like to thank, but lost the opportunity, the other nine. And of course, we like to be like Samaritan, who not only wanted to thank, but also was able to express gratitude. Let's bow our heads and pray. I always believed that Christianity, our faith and practice, always simple and practical. Somehow, Lord, over the course of time, we made it very complicated. For example, the scripture says, it is always God's will for us to be thankful in all circumstances. Instead of trying to obey your command, we try to come up with all the reasons why we can't. We try to listen or search for one sermon or two who would give us very complicated reasons why we should be thankful. Still, we come up with so many counter arguments why we cannot. But Lord, instead of bringing all these theological arguments and explanations why we should be thankful, why don't we just start giving thanks to you and see how God will transform our lives? I humbly ask you, Lord, to help all of us not to lose the opportunity to give thanks to you. As the occasions arise, let us do it without putting it off. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.